wonderful to welcome you, those of you who are here for the first time. My name is Phil Corson, and met Tom, I guess, are we coming up on a year now?
October, November,
sometime like that. And just have fallen in love with him and his family, and this church. You guys are amazing. I love your heart and passion for God. It comes through. The depth of relationship that you have, your knowledge of the Word. I can hear it when you pray. I can hear it, through Tom's teaching as well. You guys have been blessed to have him as your pastor for so long.
Amen.
He's a gift. And so I'm grateful for that. just to let you know, for those of you who are just got here, basically I've been doing a progression on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So Thursday night we did the Holy Spirit as Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. Friday morning was the Holy Spirit as Purifier, how he convicts the world of sin, how he also convicts us as believers. And then last night was the Holy Spirit as Empowerment. We looked at Acts chapter 1 and 2, the Holy Spirit, Jesus promising that He was not going to leave us as orphans, but He's going to send the Holy Spirit who would come alongside us. He would empower us, not only convict us, but He's going to empower us for ministry. And then what I want to do today and then a little bit tonight is talk about the Holy Spirit as the gift giver. And this is where, you're probably familiar with a lot of this, want to build on that. And then Tom mentioned about praying tonight for individuals that have a need, but I really want to pray for all of us. Mm-hmm. and just ask God to stir up the gifts among us. And so I'm looking forward to tonight. I think it's going to be a great time. And I want to encourage you tonight as well to allow the Holy Spirit to use you as we pray for individuals. Don't just this isn't going to be the Tom and Phil show, and we're going to do this. It's just going to be every one of us. As we're going to look at today, as the Spirit comes, as the gift giver to give each one of you and me spiritual gifts for the purpose of encouragement and building up the body of Christ. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul... Not only was he a missionary and apostle going out and establishing churches in whatever respective cities that he was a part of, but he was a man that had a passion for the local church. To the Apostle Paul, the local church was critical in his thinking. It was critical, because not only did he establish those churches, but when he went into a city and he began to do the work that God did, he began to establish the church and set up local elders there to care for those people, and that individual church would then reach out and begin to build a church in that city, and the believers would come together and join and be edified. And that was Paul's motive and mission. I mean, he was out to say, I want to plant churches, I want to establish churches in whatever locale I'm at, being obviously led by the Holy Spirit as he does that. But in the midst of that, he just doesn't like love them and build it and then leave them alone. He is caring for them all throughout, and he has a passion to see each local church built up and strengthened in the body of Christ. And he doesn't just look for pastors and apostles and prophets to do it. He looks for the body of Christ to do it. He looks for individual people to let each and every person know that they are and have gifts from God that are specifically given to build the church up. And that's really what Paul's heart is. And that's what I want to communicate today to you, that through this progression that I've been talking about, I wanted us to have a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit in our life, that He's active, that He's here, that he's willing. And now for us to see that the Spirit is willing and he's going to give gifts to us. And those gifts are not so we can just have them as personal adornments. They're not given for us so that we can just wear them around and flash them. They're given to us so that we can strengthen, encourage, and build up the church. That's the goal and the heart that Paul has in light of this, of spiritual gifts. And so it's his passion for the local church. As the church in Corinth, they were meeting together. It was a rather large church there in Corinth. But there was just a lot of abuse of the gifts that were taking place. I mean, it was chaotic. I mean, you can know from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there are factions, you know, it's like everybody has their favorite teacher, you know, and so did the Corinthians. They did too. And that's why he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, you know, some of you say, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And then you had your really spiritual crowd that said, I'm of Jesus. You know, and so it was just all these different factions of people where they lined up. And then so the Corinthian church, man, it was chaotic. It was active, and it was on the move and on the go. And so Paul's coming in writing 1 Corinthians to kind of set some things in order, to establish kind of like an orderly gathering when they come together. So it's not chaotic. Because unbelievers were coming into the place, and that through all the chaos of tongues and uninterpreted tongues and prophecies and all the wildness that was going on, Paul comes in and he establishes. He's not there to quench the Spirit. He's there to administrate the Spirit for the effectiveness for lost people to see the glory of God and for the church to be built up. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is all about. He's establishing some guidelines, some parameters. And so many times as charismatics, we can come in and think that if we start to administrate the gifts of the Spirit, that somehow we're quenching it. No. We're not quenching it. We want God to be glorified. This is why we had abundant grace on how we do things at our church. And when they come, if someone has an impression or what they sense is a scripture that they want to read, if they want to just come up and read a scripture, I don't need to judge that. That's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, this is true. But if they want to add commentary to what they read, well, then I'm going to judge that. But if they feel like they have a word of encouragement or a prophetic word to us, we have a microphone set up in the front. I normally buy that mic, and they come up and they'll just whisper in my ear. They'll give me a general guideline of what they're sensing, what the Lord has put on their heart. And then they'll come out and they'll bring that word of encouragement. Now, some people may look at that and say, Phil, aren't you quenching the Spirit there? Why don't you just let them? No, we're administrating it like the Apostle Paul said. We're judging that word that comes. Because when that person comes up and shares with me what they feel like the Lord has put on their heart, as I listen to it, I'm looking for three things that 1 Corinthians 14 tells them. Mm-hmm. Does it edify? Does it bring encouragement? Does it build up? And does it comfort? Does it bring consolation? Is it comforting to the people? Is it this? Thus saith the Lord, which we don't use that, you know, because nobody's an Old Testament prophet. They come with impressions. And there's no thus saith the Lord, but it's this heavy-handed God hates you and he. No, nothing like that. You know, it's just what is it that comes to build up the body of Christ? What does this look like? How do we walk and pray for each other and live life together as we see what God is trying to do? And so for the Apostle Paul, he is going to show them in 1 Corinthians 12 that the Holy Spirit has come, that the Holy Spirit is a gift giver, and that these gifts are for the body of Christ and for its upbuilding. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1. And we'll go all the way down to verse 11. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one could ever say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. In verses 4 through the rest of the chapters, we're going to spend the majority of our time today. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions each one individually as he wills. And let's go look at 12 and 13 as well. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, and so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So Father, we thank you for today. And I ask, God, that you would help us come and look at these gifts, Lord, and to see, Lord, that you, Lord, desire your church. Lord, you desire Bethel Fellowship, Lord, to be a church, God, where the gifts, Lord, are poured out and given so that the body of Christ can be built up. So that lives can be encouraged and strengthened. And so that Jesus can be exalted in a greater way as we point to the Savior. And thank Him for all that He has done for us. So we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. When Paul opens up here talking about concerning spiritual gifts, what is a spiritual gift? There are four words in the Greek, but I'm not going to get into all those and unpack them. That's not what I'm here to do today, but I encourage you to look at that. I mean, talks about it here in 1 Corinthians 12:1 and 12:4, 1 Peter 4:10. These are differing gifts here that talk about the different words in the Greek pertaining to spiritual gifts. But Wayne Grudem says this: a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and it's used in any ministry of the church. Sam Storm says this: a spiritual gift is a God-given and therefore gracious capacity to serve the body of Christ. It is divinely empowered and spiritually energized potential to minister to the body of Christ by communicating the knowledge, power, and love of Jesus. And I love that, of how he communicates that. Because all gifts, both Grudem and Storms would say, and Paul says, all gifts are designed to serve and to help others. Again, they're not given so that we can just show them off. They're not given for us, but they're given for the purpose of serving. And so we see in verse 4 here, in verses 4 through 6, the Trinitarian aspect that Paul brings in pertaining to the gifts of the Spirit. Because what we want and what Paul is going to communicate here, as we will look at the entire chapter, is Paul is after unity of the body, but he's also after diversity. And what he's showing us here is that we want to be unified, but the body of Christ is very diverse. Not all of us are going to have the same gift, but we all serve the same Jesus. We all have the same Spirit here who's coming out, but there is a diversity in this room that's good. We don't want to be uniformity. We want diversity. We want unity, but not uniformity. We don't want everyone prophesying. We don't want everyone coming in and giving hospitality or showing the gift of leadership. All these different aspects. We're going to see, God, what gift is it that you have for me? And Lord, help me to use it to serve you. But God, I'm not satisfied. Don't ever become comfortable with and say, well, you know, I've just got one gift. That's it. That's all God's given. Now the Spirit is there to give. And as we see when we'll look at maybe if we get there, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is definitely says, hey guys, pursue love, but eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That means you've got to pursue spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Because why? Because prophecy, he says, builds up the church. Yeah. It strengthens the church. It does something to us. And so there is this element to where the Spirit is willing and the Spirit apportions, but there is a side where, hey, Paul wants us to pursue them. So we just not sit back and say, okay, Spirit, here I am. Just whatever gift you want to give me, go ahead. I may not like it. And I may not want that one. But we've got to pursue the Holy Spirit. We've got to pursue spiritual gifts. Again, these gifts that Paul is telling us to pursue come into the context of Jesus Christ and His finished work and what has done. And we're doing this, again, not for our own purpose and pride to be recognized, but we do it because we want to serve the body. We want to serve our brothers and sisters. And so we have a Trinitarian aspect here in verse 4 of the unity of the Spirit of God, who is one in three persons. When Paul says in verse 4, he says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God. So you've got Spirit, Lord, Jesus, God the Father. Here, Paul showing the oneness of the Godhead, but yet the diversity of the Godhead as well. And so Paul has in mind, not only is God one, but he is yet diverse as well. And he wants the church to look like that. He wants the church to be one in love. And that's why we have 1 Corinthians 13. He wants us to show love to one another, that love is the motivating factor through all these gifts that are being given out. And he wants the body of Christ to be one. He wants them to be in unity, because where there is unity, there is power. Where there is unity, man, God can move among that. When there is discord, look out. The Bible tells us that says, wherever there is discord, man, there's every kind of evil. We want to be careful about that. And so we want unity, but in the midst of unity, we want diversity. It's in the Trinity, Paul says. We see it here through the different variety of gifts, the different variety of service, the different variety of activities, Spirit, Lord, God. So we see these different things that are going on and taking place. But now, in the midst of this diversity that Paul says, there is this element of each of us receiving these gifts. So Paul's, really his thesis statement is verse 7. When he says this, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So each one, meaning every person in here, has a spiritual gift. There are no giftless Christians. We may need to find them. You may know what your gift is. But each one of you have a gift. And Paul says, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. So there is, Paul emphasizes here to bring about this manifestation of the Spirit, not on the gift itself. That is, this is a gift from the Spirit of God. But the emphasis is on the Spirit of God giving the gift. It's a manifestation from Him. It's not the emphasis on the gift. So many times we can get caught up in the gift thing. We've got to be careful about that. We want to seek Jesus. We want all that Jesus has for us and what the Spirit of God has for us. And in the midst of seeking Jesus, we're going to see these gifts apportioned greatly. There are different times in my life where
I like, probably like most of you guys, I like to worship. I have a lot of worship songs on my phone. When I'm riding my bike, I'll turn them on. If I'm in my room alone, I'll set my phone on and turn it on and just begin to worship. And worship just helps me refocus my attention. It helps me get my eyes off myself. It helps me get my eyes off my problems. It helps me get all my eyes off circumstances and anything that needs to come on. And I'll just put on a worship song and I'll just begin to worship the Lord. And it helps me refocus my attention on what is important to me. And there's many times as I'm praying and asking God for Lord, what is it that you want to do? But as many times as I'm worshiping God and I'm focused on Jesus Himself, it's when all of a sudden it seems like those gifts begin to operate a little bit more. Why? Because I'm not just seeking the gifts, I'm seeking the giver of the gifts. And God just seems to move more in a more prominent way as I focus my attention on Him and not like, oh Lord, I really just need the gift of prophecy right now. You know, or I need to do this. Now, again, there is that pursuit that Paul tells us to go after. But that pursuit of pursuing spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, we need to see that it comes in light of the cross of Christ and what the Holy Spirit has done. And so we have this manifestation that is given that is a focus on the Spirit of God, not just on the gift itself. Gordon Fee says this. He says, thus, each gift is a manifestation, a disclosure of the Spirit's activity in their midst. That's what's taking place. Tonight, as we pray tonight, I'm going to pray for us that God would just manifest Himself through the gifts and we be encouraged, and that God use you, whether it's praying for an individual. I'm not looking for a specific thing and to say, well, that's really not the Spirit of God. That's really not a manifestation of the Spirit. Paul gives us 9 manifestations here in 1 Corinthians 12, but they're not the only manifestations of the Spirit. Okay? Romans 12 has them. 1 Peter 4 has gifts as well. I think there's total. Ephesians 4 has gifts as well. I think it's like 22 different gifts in the Bible there that we talk about. But it's not just the, quote, power gifts that I'm interested in. You know, yeah, please, Lord, give me the gift of miracles and let me just, you know, pray for people and they're going to recover. And that's what we want. We want what is called the power gifts. I call these in 1 Corinthians 12 the power gifts. You know, discerning spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, miracles, gifts of healing. Yes, Lord, that's me. I don't want service. I don't want a mercy gift, Lord. Give that to somebody who's compassionate. You know, I want these power gifts. You know, the Spirit of God, what happens so many times as charismatics, we can focus on just the power gifts and not see the broad work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is at work. Guess what? When you serve in children's ministry, that acts of service there. When you set up chairs, that's a work of the Spirit. We got to recognize that in our life rather than just saying, oh, well, God really wasn't in our midst today. Nobody was laying on the floor. You know, nobody was writhing over here and just, you know, nothing like that. And what happens, we can get conditioned like that. People think that unless God does this, then unless something that doesn't happen in the Sunday morning service, then God really wasn't there. Oh, Phil got up and preached this morning? Rather than we have worship and prayer and all that? Oh, the Spirit of God wasn't there. No. It's a sad commentary to us that have come out of that type of background and to see, and we've missed the broad work of the Spirit of God. And so tonight when we pray, that's what we're going to pray for the broad work of the Spirit. And I tell you what, Tom and I were praying last night for a couple, and Tom began to pray, and as he was beginning to pray, and I mentioned to you about prophetic praying, there's people that just have, they can pray, and they don't even know they're praying, but it's prophetic. And man, Tom got done, I prayed the first time, Tom prayed after me, and I just felt like, yeah, why did I pray? I mean, God, that was so good. I was, man, Lord, why did you have me step out and pray? That the couple that we prayed for, they probably walked out. Yeah, okay, that's Phil. But Tom, Tom was like, man, he was on it. And those words were there. I felt the presence of God. And I walked away and I told him, I said, guys, that's prophetic praying right there. It was good. It was good. And the Spirit of God came down. And I'm sure as Tom is praying, I'm sure he's being led by the Spirit of God. And guys, that is what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit comes and empowers us, even in our prayers, man, they're built up. People are built up. They're excited. They know. And you just don't know that one word you pray, one word you can say, can set somebody free. It's amazing what God can do. It's amazing what it can do with the Spirit. But the problem is, so many times we think, can God really use me in that way? Yes! Yes, God is not a respecter of persons. You don't have to have all this Bible knowledge to be used by God. All you have to do is to be willing. Say, Lord, I don't know much, but I can bring encouragement to somebody I know. Even if I walk up to him and say, I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. Just something along those lines. And so this manifestation that God gives is a disclosure of the Spirit's activity in our midst. And so that's what we're going to pray for tonight. God, work in our midst. Let us see you at work through the reading of Scripture, through people praying, through a prophetic word, whatever it may be, to encourage and strengthen and build up. Lord, that's what we want. And then Paul says here at the end, not only is to each one given, so to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for the common good. Paul is desirous of the Corinthian church to be built up and to be strengthened. He wants them, they're a very gifted church, the Corinthian church is. They're not lacking in spiritual gifts. But the problem is that they're all over the place and it's just mass confusion and there is no continuity. There is no flow of the Spirit. So what Paul's doing is he's coming in and said, guys, you're very gifted. And Paul then doesn't come in and doesn't say this. Hey guys, look, first of all, these gifts after I die are going to cease. So just shut it down. He doesn't say that. He doesn't come in there and say, you know what, guys? This is causing mass confusion. Unbelievers are coming into your meeting. They're totally confused. They're scared. They're running out of the building because you guys are nuts. And so what we want you to do is, look, the gifts are going to cease once the apostles are done. So let's just shut this thing down. Because all we're doing is causing confusion among the people. And let's just fall in love with Jesus more. And let's go on and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't do that. He does just the opposite of it. He encourages them in their gifts. He wants to see more of them involved. He just wants it administrative a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where 1 Corinthians 14 comes in. He said, like, you know what? Let two or three of you prophesy. Let those that do it judge. If you come up with the tongues and it's uninterpreted, go back to your seat, sit down, find out why, what's going on. You know, so he's up here saying, we're going to have two, no more than three. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. What is it that we're trying to bring here? And so Paul says, look, guys, I don't want an uninterpreted tongue to happen in your meeting. It's got to be interpreted. Because why? The interpretation builds up. It's like prophecy. If it's uninterpreted, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, the only one that's built up through the tongue is just you yourself. It's not encouraging the body of Christ. And then you're doing it, and unbelievers are coming into your meeting. They think that there's a foreign thing. It's judgment. All this stuff happens. And they think you're crazy. And you're causing confusion. So rather than just shut it down, no, let's bring order to it. Let's bring order to it. And let's see this gift go out and see it take place. And so then Paul gives us a list of the nine manifestations there, which you can read on your own to look at. But in verse 11 in particular, at the end of that, he says, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. You see, the Holy Spirit is willing to give gifts. He's not going to hold back gifts from His children. He's going to give them freely. If you know, remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, He says, "If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask?" And one of the things that God has given us as these gifts that He gives to His children to build up His body, to build up His church. And it's going to be something beautiful. And then Paul says, hey, the Spirit is willing to apportion these things out. He gives them, and we need to receive them. And then we need to use them. And the more we use the gift, the more the Spirit's going to give it. What's your faith level like in using the gift of prophecy that God may give you? As you begin to step out of faith, as you begin to step out of faith and use the gift, what happens is you become more aware of God. You become, faith begins to build up in your heart, and you can say, you know what? Yes, I was afraid at this level, but then God took me here, and now I've got faith to go to here, and then I've got faith to go to here. And it's apportioned as the Holy Spirit comes and He does this. And it's going to work with you. The Holy Spirit's not just going to come in and all of a sudden your eyes are going to roll back into the back of your head and you're going to go, oh, you know, something happened like that. It's not going to be anything like that. He's going to work with you. He's not here to overtake you. It's not like you're going to be out of control or anything like this. No, you're going to be fully aware. You're going to have an impression. It's going to come in different manifestations that of the way God works and the Holy Spirit comes. This is what God does. He uses gifts to build up the body of Christ. And so what Paul does for the remaining chapter of chapter 12 is he gives a metaphor of the body, of the human body. And he begins to use the human body as an example of what the gifts look like. And he comes in, he says, hey guys, guess what? You know, the body is one member, but it has many parts. And each part is valuable. Each part is designed by God. Each part has a specific purpose. And just like the gifts, there's one body, but there's going to be many different gifts that we have here. He gives us 9 that are going to be apportioned by the Spirit. And each one functions in a way that brings about the Spirit of God being manifest, Jesus being exalted, and brings about encouragement and strengthening to the believers and to the church. And so he comes in and he says, hey, you've got a hand. The hand by itself, it's no good. But when it's attached to the body, great things happen. Mm-hmm. You've got an eye, you've got an ear. And then you can't say to each other, the eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. The ear can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. We need each other. We function in this way as one body, but many different members. And so whatever it is that the gifts that God gives you and He brings about in your life, know that each of us need to celebrate that gift, be thankful to God for that gift, and then use that gift and let them go. Don't go to those individuals and say, you know what? That gift here probably works better down the road at that church. No. It's what God does here. It's what God comes in and moves. And as we ask God to come and to apportion the gifts of the Spirit to us, and we become open and receptive to what God has, then great things are going to happen among us. We're going to see God move in ways that are encouraging, in ways that bring about glory to God, in ways that unbelievers are amazed. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, look guys, that we want
the unbeliever to come into our meetings and they hear what God is doing and they're convicted and they say, surely God is among you. Yeah. And they see something. What is it that they're seeing? They're seeing, first of all, the love. They're seeing that the body is functioning properly, and they're seeing the manifestations of the gift of God being evident among them, and they're amazed. Why? Because they see that God is alive and God is active. Mm-hmm. It's not just coming through and just doing a rote and routine Sunday morning activity, but it's coming in and saying, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? How is it that you want me to... What is it that you want me to say? Is there something you want me to say today? How can I bring encouragement? I've mentioned to you looking for individuals. It may not have to be some type of public forum where it's in front of everybody. It could be something private to where you just go up to an individual and encourage them with a word. And strengthen them. And this is what God wants to do. He wants to use the gifts that He's given you to build up the church, to encourage others. Because every member and every gift is important. At Abundant Grace, the church I pastor in Gainesville, when we have members come in to our and joining the church, I let them know that they may think that they came to this church just to receive. But I let them know that no, you came and now you're a member of this church and you're here because you have a gift that we need at Abundant Grace. There's something that's inside of you that is going to make Abundant Grace a much more effective church. And you're going to serve in that capacity. And you're going to serve in that gift. And it's going to be a manifestation of something that the Spirit of God is going to do in you. And you know what? You're going to make us a better church. That's the same thing with you here. Each one of you. Doesn't matter the length of time you've been at Bethel. You could be there as long for been there when the doors first opened up 50 years ago. But you have a gift. You can build up. You can strengthen the body. That is what God has called. You see, Paul doesn't want anyone left out or questioning their gifts. He wants them to know that they have one, and he wants them to know the importance of it. The importance of your gift. If you're not functioning in your gift, you're hurting the church. Think of that. I want you to feel the effects of it. Now, I know God is sovereign. I know He can go and do other things and do different things. He can bring someone else in that may have that same gift or something along those lines. But I say that because I want you to feel the effects of it. And more importantly, I want you to feel the importance of it. The importance of your gift. Are you just coming to church and going through the, not just going through the motions. I'm not saying that you're not, don't have a relationship with God. You do. But are you going just to receive? Or are you going with an expectation that I'm here to serve? It's a different mindset. You see the mindset of the difference? If you're just coming to receive, it's one thing. You're going to be limited on what you get from it. But when you come to serve, and you come to be open, and maybe God's put something on your heart, run it by the leadership. Run it by Tom. Say, hey, Tom, this is what I'm feeling. I have this impression. What do you think? You know, that's what they do when they come up to the mic at Abundant Grace. At that moment, I'm judging. I may sit there and say, you know what? I just don't feel that that's the word for right now. Maybe let's hold on to that, and let's maybe look at next week. Or, hey, that sounds good. Let's do it. You know? And it's a step of faith when you do this. It's a step of faith when you go out. We joke around at Abundant Grace about it because so many times people, because I've got the microphone here, so I'm kind of like right here. Here's the mic. So people have to walk the auditorium. And sometimes when I sit back and they'll be sharing with me, and I'll go, you know, I don't feel that that's what we need for right now. And they always tease me and be like, that's the hardest walk back, you know. It's like the walk of shame. You always think, he missed it. You know, and that's what people are thinking of them, when they're really not. And I always, I always make a note to make sure that I don't make them feel like they're doing the walk of shame as they go back. You know, to just say, hey guys, you know, that was a great word by so-and-so, but I think it's going to fit better. A lot of times, I may have it and say, you know what? That's going to work better at the end of my message rather than right now. So I want you to come up at the end of my message. That takes place. What am I doing? Am I quenching the Spirit? No. As God has given me the responsibility to lead and to oversee abundant grace, and as we sit there and judge that, I know what's going on. I know what God is doing. I know what my message consists of. And I'm going to sit there and say, you know what? That is going to fit so much better at the end of my message than it is at the beginning. So come on up. And so I'll say something like, hey, or, you know what? That's going to be better next week. Hey, if it's a prophetic word, guess what? It's still going to be relevant.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, it happened right here, right now. If nothing happens. No, no, no. What's a prophetic word? It's going to be good for today. It'll strengthen them tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It'll strengthen them next week. And guess what? It'll strengthen them 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. God's word is not just limited to space and time here and now. Right? We get encouragement from right here. Now, certainly, prophetic words, everything must be judged in light of Scripture. I think it's got to be filtered through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've got to be careful. But that's what the gifts do. But that's what the gifts are for. They're for the building up of the body of Christ. It's for the strengthening of the church. And really, it's an evangelistic tool as well. God can use it to change people because they're going to see there's something real about God in this church. And I don't know what it is. It's unlike anything else I've ever seen. And God brings glory out of it. So that's our prayer. That's my prayer for you guys as we look at this. And tonight, you know, we're gonna have lunch together and have some fellowship together. I'm excited about the baptisms today. That's going to be wonderful. I rejoice with those that are being baptized.
Hallelujah.
And then tonight when we come back, I'm just going to share a little bit. And then we're just going to pray for each other. And let's just believe God for great things. Let me encourage you to spend some time alone with God. There's a gift that you have, or you just be praying, be receptive to it, and just know that the good thing that I feel comfortable talking on this issue with you is because of the leadership of your pastor. This is a man who can administrate. This is a man who desires it. This is a man who's not afraid of it, and he's going to be there, and he's able to give leadership to it. And that's all that Paul's doing here. And we want to follow 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. We have studied those chapters as a church numerous times. We've looked over the individual gifts numerous times so that we can make sure that our Sunday morning gatherings are what the New Testament calls for. And what Paul is looking for. And so we want to walk that out and to live life and to be faithful to God's word. And as we are, then the church of God is built up. And that's what my desire is, to build this church up, to build your leadership team up, to build up the body of Christ. I want to see God do a great work in Mineota. And He can. And He is doing it. But let us never be satisfied with where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never satisfied with where abundant grace is. God has got us in a good place. But I'm not satisfied. I want more of God. And I want our church to experience God in a great way. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, when we talk about the gifts, Lord, I know many things can come. And one thing that arises, Lord, is just fear. Because it's the things sometimes of the fear of the unknown. The fear, Lord, of stepping out in faith and taking a risk for you. Sometimes, Lord, when we're praying or we feel like we have a word. Sometimes, God, it just seems like there's nothing happening. Lord, I just pray for all fear to be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is a church that is in unity. This is a church that loves each other and they love
what is happening. And so, Lord, when we step out and we pray tonight and we ask the Holy Spirit to come and freshly empower us in the gifts, Lord, and as those, Lord, that feel led, as they step out in faith, Lord, let us bring love and encouragement to them. Lord, I just thank you for this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, Lord, what we desire is for you to be lifted up and you to be exalted and your church, God, to be built up, to be strengthened, to be encouraged. And so, Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us, who empowers us for service, and who gives us gifts so that we can glorify you through the use of those gifts. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.